Well, good afternoon, good evening. Hello, everybody out there in the world, and welcome in to another live episode of the Buddhist Biohacker. My name is Lisa. I am your host and mystic guide in this wild world we live in these days. And I am absolutely thrilled because we're here with one of our favorite monthly features and monthly featured guests, Keeping It Real with Julie Hoyle. Welcome back, Julie.
Thank you so much, Lisa. What an intro as well, I have to say. That was really amazing.
Congratulations. Isn't it fabulous?
That is really great.
It's so fun. I feel like we're all ready now. We're all pumped up. I hope everybody out there is pumped up. And my lovely husband did all of the music, original composition, digital music on his part. And I created the intro, so I love it.
Well, listen, I'm glad you're pumped because I feel really pumped as well. Because the theme, distractions of the seeming spiritual kind, has really been coming up for me. And I know it's been coming up for you because of what you've shared. And it's also been coming up in the people that I've been working with. So you know, in terms of this community and beyond, we're all getting the same kind of messages. So to kind of speak to that, first of all, let me say as well, for anybody who's listening in, Lisa and I would really love you to, you know, this is interactive and we would love you to share, to post comments, to ask questions and to really engage, because this is not about just Lisa and I, you know, having a chit chat. It's about supporting everybody that is either listening during the live or listens later, you know, to the recording. And it's really important to understand that because we want to have this interactive conversation. So I'm just going to kind of preface, you know, why this has come up so strongly for me, and then we can kind of open it up, and Lisa, you can input, and then we can maybe take questions and so on. So, cool. Yeah, so, you know, I'm on Instagram. And sometimes I read some of the spiritual leaders in the community and just kind of check in and see what's happening and so on. And one of the things that I've seen really prevalently is discussion, as we all have, about, you know, living in, you know, 3D, 4D, 5D and on up. Great long discussions about that and debates about that and what that means and so on and so forth. And I'll come back to what I want to reference there. Another thing I've seen is a lot of discussion on differing timelines, and that the construct that we're seeing in this 3D reality isn't real, and there's a whole other reality, particularly with the political scene and scenario and the way that's playing out right now, and that what we're seeing isn't real, and it's fake. And it's been manipulated on movie sets, and you know, all of those kinds of things are being said. So there's all of that happening as well in terms of discussions and, you know, not really buying into what we're being shown, and it's all fake and it's phony and so on and so forth. And then the other thing is really looking at, you know, what is real and true for us and how we're being sort of manipulated and deceived, and you know, we should really make sure that we are not listening to anything on the news and television, and you know, obviously some of that has some semblance and truth, so you know, all of those things that are kind of being spoken about and discussed and so on, obviously those things do have some semblance in truth. There's always a grain of truth in something, but the thing is that if you focus as a sincere spiritual seeker, if you keep focusing on, for example, this isn't real, there's another reality happening off in some other dimension, and that when the final day of reckoning comes, I'm going to ascend to that other plane of existence and I won't be suffering here, right? I won't have to put up with all the crap I'm putting up with at work, for example, or whatever the story is that people want to get away from. You know, it's another avoidance. It's another sort of form of avoidance and a form of distraction and a form of not wanting to own what's actually showing up in your life. And you know, it's a bit like in many ways spiritual bypassing with respect to, you know, meditating for 3-4 hours a day and, you know, doing practices as a way of really not owning your anger and your frustration and all the other things that are really knocking on the door, begging for you to kind of look at them and invite them in. And, you know, and again, coming back to Instagram, some of what is out there is just really bizarre. And I'm not, you know, I'm not even going to go into those stories. And some of it does have some semblance of truth. But the call to action for all of us is to really look at what has resonance for us. Look at who is sharing and speaking the information. And if it's a spiritual teacher, look at who the lineage is. Look at who his or her teacher is. Look at, you know, who they studied with and where they are in terms of their own state. You know, that's always the first thing. Look at what you're feeling and if there's a resonance and if it has a sort of a practical value for you in your life. And, you know, and then the third thing is does it stand the test of time? Or is it just some drama, something just type, kind of create and attract attention and doesn't have any substance in terms of being, again, able to apply that to your own life? So I'd love to kind of dive into this topic because it's really timely. And the reason I think it's really timely and it's coming up so strongly is because there's so much uncertainty in the world with the pandemic and with political systems and so on and so forth. Most people are not comfortable with not knowing and with uncertainty. So what they do is to try and distract and make them feel better, they'll look at often kind of very complex stories and narratives that, you know, help them sort of feel like they're in control. Or, you know, again, escape through this idea of another reality or some different timeline that, you know, so it's this kind of all these kind of exaggerated ideas floating around that I think it's worth looking at with respect to where you really are and what you're actually feeling and knowing to be true for you in your life, wherever you are in your life and whatever's happening in your life. So I don't know whether you'd like to speak to that, Lisa.
But yeah, I took some notes while you were talking, and I love the topic. And again, for everybody joining in the live, we'd love to hear your own experiences with this, your own comments and questions. Like, please share them. We'd love to hear it. And a couple of things you said that I wanted to speak on is when you talk about looking at the lineage, one thing that came through my own, you know, automatic writing and things this year from spirit was to really look at the body of work of spiritual teachers and even public figures, politicians, personalities, like really look at what they've accomplished, what's out there, you know, how you can connect in with them. So just to kind of reiterate what you're saying, I mean, I agree. I think it's important because it's really easy to intellectualize all of this spiritual work. I mean, I think I'm very analytical, you know, and it's so easy to like get lost in a sea of spiritual teachings and nerd out on all of it. And there's a time and place for that, I think. Yeah. But it's also important to really simplify that down and look at what you're actually getting out of it spiritually and in your conscious awareness. So that's important. And I also think, you know, I spent all year last year, I'm a psychic. I was laughing this week about the fact that like I'm a psychic for a living. So of course people ask me about conspiracy theories. I think that's been the case for the 15 years I've done it, right? You want to know if aliens are true or who shot JFK or whatever it is. There's always some sort of thing. So I was laughing because it's become such a big deal to even talk about a conspiracy theory. And I thought, well, I'm a psychic. Like I talk to people who are dead. Like, of course people are going to ask me about this. And so I had to pick apart so much of the information this last year. And I really sat with that this month, like the month of January, really at the beginning of the year. And it is one huge distraction that I think everyone created. I think it got so big because we were all forced to be with ourselves in our homes and we couldn't do it. So we just found something else to focus on to distract us from the real work within ourselves, because so many of us don't want to do it because it's hard.
Yes. Yes, it really is hard. And you know, and the thing is, it's really about, and this is why I wanted a theme of keeping it real. And it's not popular. You know, what I'm speaking to is not popular at all, because we're, you know, human nature, we're just always looking for escape routes and ways out. We want to ease our suffering, which is really at the crux of the initial spiritual journey and spiritual seeking. We want to ease our suffering. You know, but the thing is that, you know, meditating or looking at distractions works for a while, but then you still end up feeling shitty and you're angry and you don't know why and you don't want to look at why and you don't want to do anything about the state of your relationship or the state of your finances, you know, or whatever's going on. Mm-hmm. Because you're busy distracting yourself the whole time rather than really looking at the crux of what the issue and issues are really about. Now, pointing to, you know, that phrase, your life is your guru, is true, because every aspect of our lives is here to teach us something and to show us something and to reveal where we're in alignment with it or where we're working against it or where there's conflict and so on and so forth. But it's work. It's very hard because we really cannot keep kind of bullshitting ourselves. You've got to get real with it and own it and take care of what needs to be taken care of. And the thing is that, you know, initially you may have some big sort of dramatic spiritual awakening, which was certainly true in my case, and everything for a period of time can be wonderful and lovely and you're discovering things and you're learning and all of that. And then at a certain point, the real work begins and you really have to stay in place, be present, be where you are, and really look through the lens, the honest lens of discernment with respect to what you're creating and what you have created and, you know, your part in it. Mm-hmm. So this is a very meaty topic. And certainly, you know, the sort of the spiritual distractions can take all shapes, size and forms. One of them, you know, as I said earlier, is, you know, can be a preponderance to meditate and do all the practices and avoid, you know, the practical aspects of one's life. And now the newer ones now, they're talking about different timelines and not really having a clue about what that means. You know, and also with some clients, I've had them, you know, and I've been working with them. They've been very concerned because they've heard all about, you know, 4D and 5D and all of those things. But, you know, they're worried that they're not in it. And how do you get into it? Mm. And what am I not doing right? I must be doing something wrong. Or maybe, you know, I need to clear my base chakra. There's all these conversations, you know, and then it adds another layer of people believing, because some a spiritual teacher or something has said all of this, that he or she is right, this person is wrong, they're not getting it, they're not feeling it, and so they need to double up their efforts or do something else or do some purification in order to get to whatever that place looks like. And it's the truth, right? This is the reality of what's been sort of created. And the thing that I always say is, listen, right where you are in your life right now, with your three kids, craziness at work, whatever's happening, conflict with your husband or your partner, whatever, right there, that is the doorway. Because being present, being aware, being conscious of where you are and what you're creating, and, you know, owning all of that, is really the doorway into realization of the self and having these insights, epiphanies, you know, inner messages, clear seeing, clairaudient, clairvision, whatever you want to call them, whatever terms you want to give to that phenomenon, is about source itself speaking to you in your life right where you are without you having to sort of become some idealized version of, you know, what it looks like to live in 5D reality or whatever. You know what I mean?
I do. Well, and I want to speak directly to that too, because I think it's important to question, going back to what you said about the teacher, is going back and asking the question, why are you just taking their word for it? And if it's okay, I want to directly say, like, we did a video last year where I went through the 11 dimensions for this very reason, because everyone was talking about it. And I'm like, what the hell are we even talking about? Really? Like, does anyone even know what they're talking about? And so I wanted to know. And so I think it's really important. Like, I went and I watched, I'm not even kidding you guys, I watched YouTube videos about string theory to understand what the different dimensions are. And the conclusion I came to, and part of why Buddhist Biohacker is about 1111D, is because you literally are in all these dimensions right now. There
Yes.
is no, like, that's what you're accessing when you live and meditate and do your life. And
Yes.
so, you know, it's so important to not just, don't just take anyone's word for it on something. Go learn about it, because it's actually kind of really interesting when you go learn about it, but then understand like where that's really coming from and that it's not some sort of club you're trying to get in with a special key.
Yeah, exactly. And the point is your life right now, right where you are. And again, your own life has proven itself to you, because you can bet your bottom dollar every single person that's, you know, with us now in the live or listening later has had, and I've said this before, insights, epiphanies, direct experiences of seeing, direct knowing, direct access, feelings of expansion, you know, all of those things that are what the master yogis called the siddhis, the supernatural powers, the, you know, the connecting in with source as source itself. Everybody's had that to some degree or another. It's not like you had to go and, you know, study how to get into 5D and then into 6D and then into 7D. You know, and this is also why I've written about lucid dreaming, being present, being here in your own life, and using simple sort of practices to kind of stay present and grounded in your life, rather than continually thinking you've got to educate yourself, or, you know, try other things, or often do things that don't even fit with in your schedule, you know. And I keep referencing women who have got like three or four kids, like, yeah. You know, it's not like you've got all day every day to sit and meditate and sort of study and analyze, you know, how to get into these different
No.
the different timelines that are seemingly going on, you know. How do I access all these different times? I need to get there, you know, because I really, I've got a house, you know, I need to clean the house. I don't want to do that. I want to go into this different time, you know. But this is what we do. It's just craziness. It seriously is. And, you know, our access point is always right here. It's always now. It's always in our own lives. Whatever is showing up and happening, whether we like it or not, whether it's comfortable or not, your own life is the portal or the touchstone or the gateway, however you want to. However you
Well,
want to.
and it, that present moment that you're talking about, I mean, it's the present moment is where you access all of it.
Yes.
And the most powerful interdimensional experience you can have is to just sit and be completely present, even if you're just doing dishes, because that, like you said, is where you become that source energy that's just truly aware of your expression. I mean, that's really what it is.
And you know, the thing is whatever kind of experience you're looking for, whether it's an out-of-body experience, a lucid dream, some sort of epiphany or insight or intuition or whatever, you can only be open to receiving those gifts when you're actually present. If you're in the mind, you know, kind of all over the place, or kind of going off in your crazy heightened emotions or whatever, you're not going to have that direct experience. It's really always about being still or quiet enough to be able to receive the gifts, those gifts. And, you know, being still and in silence doesn't mean necessarily that you have to sit in lotus posture for, you know, and just close the door and tell the kids to go leave you alone or whatever's happening. You can be in nature. You know, we've all had those experiences, right? You're out in nature, just enjoying it. You're not thinking about anything, and it's just you feel this expansion and this movement, and these amazing kind of insights or teachings land or ideas for projects or whatever happens. You know, it's because you're in that silent space, even when you might be moving or hiking or cycling or whatever it is you're doing. And again, it has proven itself to you again and again and again and again and again. It's not in some far off place.
Now, I have a question for you, Julie, because, you know, you and I both, I think, in our past have tried it all and yeah. tried to learn it all and do it all. And so for all of the folks out there who are in that place, you know, what was the moment for you? Do you remember like a moment where it was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to do all this stuff anymore? Was there a point where you felt like all the spiritual learning and studying, it just, you wanted to be done with it, or you felt like you didn't need it, or whatever that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really profound moment, and it was very difficult. And I actually wrote about this in the book, Meeting the Shadow, Finding Yourself. Because, you know, I'd been this ardent spiritual seeker for close to 30 years. But what happened was, and I can tell you that the story, I'll try and keep it brief, but it was a process. And what happened was, one of the master yogis I worked with said to me, she came to me in a dream, and she said, I'm going to send you some people, I want you to work with them, because she said, they're not listening to a word I say. And she said, so I'm sending them to you, I'm done with them, I'm sending them to you.
Lucky you.
So honestly, literally the next day, I started to get requests from yogis who had lived in an ashram, been living in an ashram for between 5 years and 25, 30, 40 years, a long time. And so I was working with them, but predominantly the thing that kept coming up more than anything was fear. There was a lot of fear around, you know, what happens if I leave the ashram? Will I be able to find work? Will I be able to find a partner? You know, the usual questions. But the thing that it really shocked me, you know, and I worked with them and, you know, we had good sessions, but the thing that kind of shocked me was like, wait a minute, these people have been in this ashram for 25, 30 years, 40 years, and they are still as conflicted and full of questions and anxiety as they probably were going in. How is that even possible? So then I was angry, because it's like, why are they still in the ashram? If they haven't sorted this doo-doo out, what, you know, why isn't somebody helping? So what happened then, this was a gift, because what happened then was I had this epiphany, and I said, oh my God, I don't want to end up on my deathbed thinking, geez, you know, I spent 40, 50 years on the spiritual search, and I still have these moments where I feel shitty. I'm using really direct language, because this was my reality. You know, I'm on my deathbed, and I'm like, well, that was a waste of time. You know, I've gone out drinking, partying, and enjoying myself. Right, so I just didn't want that. The idea of that just horrified me, because of the time and the commitment and, you know, and the effort I put into the spiritual search. So what happened was, I was so disgusted with the whole drive and the whole search and the whole seeking. I just said, I am done. I clearly remember the moment. I just dropped everything. I said, I'm done. I'm going to stop. And that was a huge thing for me, because I'd been a meditator and chanting and doing everything. I just dropped everything. And the only thing that had any kind of appeal or resonance was to leave everything alone, just go about my business in my life, and to deepen into the silence within my being. And to go as deeply into the silence as I could possibly go, and just see how far I could go in it. And I was doing that. I can't even call it a practice, because it just felt like this organic, natural thing to do. So I was doing that no matter where I was or what was happening, while I was working, I was deepening, just going as far into the silence as possible and staying there. Even with speaking, when I was speaking from that place. So that happened. And I don't know how long that happened for, but I was doing that very intently, but in a kind of organic, natural way. And then what happened is I was listening to a teacher giving us some teaching on it was Muji. He was giving a retreat in India. And then I started to see that the place he was looking from, the words he was speaking, and the experiences he was giving people were seen. I was in the same place as him. It was the same seeing. I even knew what he was going to say. And I realized that only the self or source can see source. So source had to be here for it to be recognized in Muji. And then I realized that same recognition held true when I read the words of Hafiz, or I listened to the words of His Holiness, or I listened to Ananda Maima or any other great being. There was this absolute resonance and recognition. And source itself within this being here, it was already here, and it had always been here, recognizing source in others. And there was the idea or the concept of there being separation dissolved. And so, in other words, source saw itself. So, you know, I told you that kind of long story because there was definitely a process to it. And what's happened since that time is the seeing of that has not come and gone. It has remained intact, no matter what is being felt via the physical expression. So, you know, if I've got a headache or I'm not feeling so great or I'm feeling tired or whatever, it doesn't alter the fact that source itself is always here. Seeing and recognizing what is arising, and it has remained.
That's beautiful. I have three things. I don't know where to go. Oh my gosh. Okay. We're going to go into the shadow a little bit. And then I got a couple other things here I want to ask you about, but you mentioned the shadow and we talked about distracting yourself with all this fun, intellectual, spiritual stuff, which I get caught up in. I love it, but it's really distracting from yourself. And this analogy about the shadow came up in when I was teaching the Light Warriors last week, and I like loved it. Like, you know, when you teach something and it lands and it's like, whoa, this is like a big teaching. This is like big yes. deal. Yes. And I wanted to share it with you. And this is so good because of the topic today. But what came to me was working with the shadow or seeing your shadow is like when you get a photo of yourself and you feel great, you know, you look good and you did your makeup and your hair's done, you're feeling really good about yourself. And then you see the photo and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? And you suddenly see yourself in a very different way that completely shatters all that ego that you were feeling so good before. And that's really what the shadow is. And so I want you to talk, you have your new book, which we all love. And I think everybody in the community is doing some kind of work from one of those chapters right now. But what do you think is like the 2020 shadow that everybody was distracting themselves from? Do you think there was like a theme for the whole year? I know that's kind of a weird question, but...
Yeah, I kind of get it. It comes back down to, I don't even necessarily think it's shadow work per se. It's being comfortable in the not knowing. And most people really are not comfortable. Because we've been raised that way in the West, right?
Yeah.
Organize and you go to school and you get your degree and you do this. And it's like everything's, there's a sort of formula for it, for life. And then we're taught also to believe that, you know, we can fix whatever's showing up. If you have a plan, you approach it in the right way, you know, we can sort out or figure out what to do. You know, and there is some truth in that in a relative sense. But because this has been a, you know, an unprecedented situation, really nobody knows anything. You know, even though we've got experts telling us that they got it figured out, then we pretty much all realize that really, actually, nobody does really know. So, you know, it does take a certain amount of trust to be able to trust the not knowing. And obviously, you take care of yourself. You do the things that, you know, you wear a mask or do whatever you've been asked to do, or, you know, you wash your hands, do those things. But, you know, a lot of it is just not being comfortable in not knowing anything and not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, and then trying to find sort of strategies or concepts that tell you really what's the really what's And you'll find 25, 30, 40, 50 different versions of what that looks like, right? People purporting to sort of be able to tell you exactly what's going on, what the story is behind the scenes, and you know, these differing timelines or this fake this and fake that. So, you know, again, it's really about trusting the not knowing, but obviously taking care of what your responsibilities are, and doing whatever practices you may have on hand. Whether it's just kind of walking in nature, but you know, as a way of coming out of the mind and connecting in with source and trusting the information that comes from source as well, because that's the other side of it. I work with so many people that just don't trust their own intuitive knowing, and I'm sure you do too, Lisa. And that is vital, especially nowadays. So if you have something that lands in you that says, hey, you know, start looking for another job, or you know, take care of this situation, or sort your finances out, or whatever you're told, it's important to listen to that and to act accordingly.
Yeah, and to trust, like you said, to trust your intuition. I mean, I was told years and years ago, I mean, this was so long ago, but I was told by another psychic, you know, I should never tell you anything you don't expect. If you're getting a good reading, then you are being told things that you already know are true because they are tuned in with you and your own intuition. And that's always stuck with me because it's true. Like, it doesn't mean, even as a psychic, it doesn't mean I don't need a reading. It doesn't mean I don't call you, Julie, and say, oh my God, is this gonna happen? And this and that and the other thing. But it's the trusting and the validating. And the more that you trust yourself, the less you need it. It's really amazing. It's been amazing watching my own transformation, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, of even my own cards. Like, I have cards and I don't even look at them ever. I mean, I never look at them for myself really at all. And if I do, I have to stop myself and say, well, why are you doing this? And that was a huge transformative moment for me to be able to do that. And so what you're talking about here is so important about trusting your intuition and really listening to what's coming, because I think we're all receiving more. If anything's changed, it's that we're all connecting more with ourselves and with what is coming, because I think we are feeling out, trying to figure out what's happening. And so listening to that inner voice and trusting what's landing with you and paying attention to the signs and the synchronicities, I mean, those are all so important, just like you're talking about. So important.
Yes, and look, you know, we've proven it. It has been proven, because it, you know, this message that we're speaking to now landed in you this week. It landed in Satyam. It landed in me. It landed in the group that I was working with on Sunday, and we're all essentially saying the same thing. I mean, it may have landed in us in using sort of different words, if you like, but it was essentially the heart of it was the same message, which is about trusting what you're hearing and feeling and perceiving, and trusting it enough to act on it, you know, rather than hearing it. Now, you know, getting a buzz from it as well, but you know, kind of ignoring it or not doing anything with it, which is what happens in many cases, that it's not, there's no follow through, you know. Or sometimes people will hear it and then they'll want to sort of debate it and ask 10 different people. Rather than sitting with it and owning it and really looking at what it's speaking to, because there's always this sort of potency in every message, and there's the vitality and energy behind it that lands in you that kind of shows you what the next step is, and it brings you the people that can support your vision or your idea or the project that's been given to you. And this is the alchemy of it, you know, the grace of it as well. But we have to say yes. It's always again about saying yes, hearing it, saying yes, and then knowing mm-hmm. what to do with it.
Well, and you know what's coming even right now while you're talking is saying yes, because you're, how do I want to say this? Like, you understand the importance of your own intuition. I feel like we're discounting our intuition by either ignoring it, debating it, thinking it's not you, thinking it's not God's source telling you an information, like, instead of just being like, wow, I just received an important message or an important teaching, or this is important, and allowing yourself to have that empowerment within yourself that it's real and yeah. you're hearing it, and do something about it because it's real.
Yes. And you know, what you're just saying is so profound, because that hesitancy, if you like, you know, and the tendency to discount comes from a place of lack of self-worth. It's this ingrained belief, and sometimes it's so subtle we don't see it, it's unconscious. There's this ingrained belief, oh, you know, Lisa can have these insights, or Julie can have these, but I'm not ready yet, or, you know, I haven't worked enough, or, you know, I don't know enough, or I'm not sure, or, you know there's a lot of sort of hesitancy around it, rather than you know, recognizing, honoring it, looking at it as this great gift, this great treasure, which is a gift of source itself, and then kind of honoring it and working with it in the way that it's calling you to respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that everywhere right now. That's huge.
Yes, it really is. So, you know, one of the things that is really worth looking at is looking at, you know, and inquiring into, what do I think I need to sort of improve or change or purify in order to be able to receive, you know, mm-hmm. from source? Because, you know, all of those ideas are not true. They're just concepts. These are these beliefs that have no basis in reality. Because source has proven itself again and again, you know, through, I think just about everybody's had some epiphany or insight or intuitive message or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
To a greater or lesser degree, but there can be this tendency, or, you know, I haven't done enough work, or, oh, I don't know, can I trust that? Or, oh, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
All of that starts to kick in, and then the most beautiful gifts are discounted and sort of thrown in the trash.
Well, I'm having a profound, man, this is profound. Like, I, you know, one thing, and we've talked about this before, one thing I've always trusted is the messages I get since I was a kid. It did not matter if I told to go outside and write in my journal or whatever the heck it was, but I've always, when something lands from spirit, it's like, okay, like, I'm going to go do this thing. And even in this moment, I'm realizing I put all this importance on it because it's coming from source. And not even recognizing that that's me until this moment. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm still seeing it as outside myself. And it's just not.
No, it's not. Because mm-hmm. there's only one consciousness, which is source itself. And only source can recognize source. The mind can't recognize source. You know, the mind's always, you know, thinking and debating and, you know, source recognizes source, or the supreme self, you know, whatever term you want to give to that. And it, once it is seen as being this, as being here, as being you, that is your primary identity or true nature, or whatever you want to call it, right? That is everybody's true nature, source itself. Mm. And then out of source itself, the personal expression takes form. You know, in the body and personhood.
Mm.
But it's source itself as this.
Oh, well, and that's a good segue into something else I made a note I wanted to talk about is I'm obsessed, like obsessed right now with bringing God source into form. And I feel like in every conversation I'm having, whether it's a client or a class or whatever, I really feel like 2020 was what it was. It was our little journey. And this year really feels to me like our job on this planet is to bring God source into form.
Yes.
That is why we're here.
Yeah.
I feel like we came here to do this, and I wanted to bring this up and get your thoughts on it because I'm just obsessed with this. Like, no, we have to be here on this planet and bring God here, whether we're painting or writing or singing or playing with the kids or whatever we're doing. It's about bringing God source here through us.
Yes, exactly. So the way I was respond to that is God's source is already here. The work we're doing is helping people to see that and recognize it and to be it, right? And stop monkeying around, essentially, looking for distractions, thinking you're not ready, thinking you've got to sort of purify all your chakras or whatever you've got, think, work on the inner child or whatever, and all of those things have their place. But, just don't stay there forever. And recognize that as I've been saying repeatedly, and it's such a simple thing, but we don't see it, an epiphany, an insight, an intuition, a message, whatever you want to call it, is source itself as you speaking to you, trying to get your attention, right? And it is already here. It doesn't require these kind of major months or years of study. It's proven itself again and again. So, certainly the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing is really in support of that to help people to see what is already here in their lives, exactly where they are right now. And to have fun with it, to play, and to kind of get real about, why are you here? What is your call to action? What are you being called to? And just sort of stop this, as I said, monkeying around or sort of wasting time or just allowing themselves to be distracted with stuff really isn't very beneficial. And another side of that too is also recognizing, when you have been, you've been on your spiritual path or journey for a period of time, you've done certain practices, or you've sort of imbibed teachings, to recognize and see when something has kind of taken its course and it's finished and it's over, and that was a phase, and now it's time to sort of renew or change direction. Because there can be a set tendency to do that as well. If somebody's, let's say, studied, I don't know, shamanic practices, for example, learn certain techniques and rigidly trying to stay there where there's a bigger calling to open up and expand and include everything. And I'm not saying that shamanic teachings are narrow, but there can be a tendency sometimes to have a mental idea or construct around what that looks like and sit in a particular place rather than expanding and including everything and
Oh my gosh.
recognize, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yes. I mean, yes. I mean, the most profound moment in my life was when I recognized, and this was like 2020. I mean, this was like a year ago when I recognized that I could follow my own path of healing work and intuitive work and shamanic work. It was like, I do not have to follow a structure because it's my structure.
Yes.
It's who I am and how I'm bringing, that energy into form in the world. And I mean, that's the most profound thing. And Hope, thank you for writing. I just want to share Hope's comment. She said, "Thank you for this message. I have strong intuition, but some of the times I may have doubts. I will continue working on ridding my mind of the doubt." Thank you so much. And thank you, Hope, for sharing. That's really beautiful. And I encourage you guys to share for sure. And, you know, while we're on this topic, Julie, I wanted to talk about spiritual bypassing because you brought up, you know, what dimension am I in? That's a whole thing. Like, oh, you're not in the right dimension. That's a real thing going on out there. Yeah. You're right. It's out there. And there's teachers calling people out, and it's a little stressful to me because I think it's not probably heart-centered, but I had this little message come to me, I don't know, probably a decade ago now, but I was sitting in rush hour traffic in Denver, Colorado, which anybody who's here knows it's really awful. I mean, it's like stop and go, bumper to bumper. And I just had this message come, like, anyone can go sit in a cave and become enlightened. Like anyone, but can you sit here in rush hour traffic and become completely present and focused and clear and hold a space of compassion? Yes. And I think that is the trick. I'm hearing so many people saying to me, oh, if I just were in 5D, that's one thing. If I was on the right timeline, so that's one thing. And then the other thing is, oh, if I could just get away, like if I could just go on a retreat or be alone. And I think there's a lot of danger in consistently going on retreats and consistently like these bliss rides.
Yes.
So.
Yes, you're so right. You know, there's no end of retreat offerings online that you can find and sign up for, right?
Yeah.
But still, unless you've dealt with your doo-doo, you're going to go away and be blissed out for a week or 5 days or however long, and then come back and you're still feeling crappy, which mm-hmm. is what I was speaking to in terms of my own kind of discovery. Because you haven't dealt with the psychological issues. You haven't dealt what the source of your anger is. And this is why shadow work is really essential, all of which can be done right in your home, right where you are, while you're working, taking care of the kids or whatever's going on, you know. And the proof of that is exactly what I was doing. I mean, I've worked for God knows how many years in very difficult conditions, not had an easy time in terms of the work. And yet it was a perfect sort of container for that sort of inquiry, because as you know, when you're working on something shadow related and you sort of start inquiring, it will show up in the form of a, you know, boss or coworker or something. It will take shape. Show
up. Yes, it will.
and really that is the real work. And again, I'm not discounting retreats. Retreats can be wonderful. And they do have their place. And I've certainly done a few retreats in my time too. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you know you haven't got the money, you can't take the time off work, you've got kids that you need to take care of, whatever the story is, how about creating the idea of a retreat in your own space?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's only 10 minutes a day, just to kind of sit and be quiet.
Yes.
Nature, or bring the retreat into your own home. And you know, and again, the master yogis say that, they say bring the ashram into your home in a way that works for you in terms of your schedule, because again, all of that is escapist.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go on a retreat, I can't deal with this anger, I'm so angry, I need to go on a retreat.
Well, and I think I find, like, anytime I went to see His Holiness and it was like this really incredible experience, it's like the minute you get back, it's like the boomerang hits and it's like, oh my God, your shit flies up like crazy. It's like guaranteed if you go and do some kind of spiritual retreat or some kind of blissful experience that you're about ready to take your shadow to the next level, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And you have to be kind of ready and willing to do that. And it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy. But you know, the key always is about you and your life. Where are you? What's happening? What do you really need to take ownership of? What do you need to look at, you know, and go from there. Start there. Stay there. You know, and obviously if an opportunity for a retreat comes up and it is going to be very helpful and supportive and will open things up for you, believe me, the supreme self or source itself is supremely intelligent. It will get your attention somehow. It will land, and the money will manifest, and you'll be able to go. You know, so it's just really paying attention and being present in your life in order to see that and hear it and feel it. You know, and trust it.
Yeah. I want to open it up to the group that's watching live, and we'll continue this conversation. I'll share how we do that at the end, but I think it would be interesting to hear what epiphanies you guys have had. Like, what are some of the epiphanies that have landed with you, either recently, or maybe there's a big one in your life. And I also would love to hear from everybody what your distractions of the seemingly spiritual kind are, because I think we all have them. I get very caught up. I love physics, and I love like learning all the ins and outs of quantum physics and the body and the spirit and all those things. And so I love to like, I totally get distracted in that. And then I have to remind myself that I physically need to like walk or do something or do the dishes. So those are mine. What are yours, Julie? Do you have any distractions that you have that you get caught in now?
You know, not well, like I said, the reason I've been looking on Instagram is just to see where the current trend or the current sort of directive or direction is going in, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't interest me enough to stay there for hours on end. I'll maybe spend 4 or 5 minutes, and I'll sometimes look at the sort of message threads. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come out of it. There must be a distraction. I can't think of one off the top of my head, actually.
That's good.
because since Source recognized itself, or the self recognized itself and has not come and gone, then there isn't the same sort of pull into those kinds of distractions. But prior to that, there was certainly this sort of drive, or maybe I need to do another intensive or a retreat, or maybe I should meditate more. So those things certainly had their place in terms of my own seeking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally makes sense. I want you to share about your new book while we're here at the end of our hour. I want you, because you had two books last year that flew out, and you have a new one. So I just want you to share about your book about lucid dreaming with everyone. Yeah.
So the one that was published in August is Meeting the Shadow, Finding Yourself. And then the latest one, which was, I had meant to publish it in sort of November, December, but it landed in January of this year. And that is Wake Up and Say Yes, A Practical Guide to Lucid Living and Lucid Dreaming. And again, it's full of anecdotes and practices to help people stay present. You know, my own sharing as well. You know, because there's a lot of interest in lucid dreaming, a lot of people want to learn how to lucid dream. But what they mm-hmm. don't realize is that in order to lucid dream and essentially be awake in your dream, you have to be awake in your life. You can't sleepwalk through life and then expect to. I mean, sometimes it happens, but usually the two go hand in hand. So I speak to both and speak about the importance of recognizing Turiya, that which is the fourth, which is the state prior to the waking state and the dream state, which is a state of source itself or awareness itself, absolute awareness itself. And, you know, really sort of support people in that inquiry and more, you know, most importantly, to share and point to what is already here, what is actually here in your life that is actually so simple and so accessible, it's overlooked for the most part, is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
People think, you know, they have to work, you know, spend hours or years training, or you know, go off on this spiritual search, and you really don't have to. So that's really sort of the thrust of that book, and there's been a lot of interest in it, and it just gives me such joy that I can help people to wake up and recognize what's already here, because Like I said, I spent 30 years seeking, and it does not have to take that long. It really doesn't. So that's really what I'm all about now, is, you know, sharing that and pointing to that and speaking to that and speaking to what is here in everyone's life.
Well, you know, I love you so much, Julie, and I know everyone here loves you so much. And you guys, Julie's here every single month, and it's always fabulous. And you can find Julie's information at juliehoyle.org. It's going across the screen. And I want to share that if you didn't know, Julie is an incredible artist, and her artwork is behind us right now. And you can find all of her art on Fine Art America and also on her website. And I have some in my home myself, and the colors and the light, it speaks for itself. So do check that out, because that's a whole other part of Julie that we don't talk about very often. And you can also join our new community, which I want to talk about just briefly, the Ajatakasha community, which is Sanskrit for infinite and boundless space. And that is exactly what it is. So if you are looking at leaving the mainstream social media, if it's become overwhelming, if you're tired of the ads and so on and so forth, and you really just want to be in a like-minded community, I mean, that's really what it is. These days, we can't just pick up and move to, you know, a commune or some kind of community that we want to be in necessarily. So come over to Ajatakasha, and all the links are down below, or you can go to lisamgunshore.com, and Julie has a really beautiful group in there too, which is so exciting. So Julie, I'm going to hand it off to you. I would love for you to share about your group, but also just what do you have upcoming? Because I know you have all these great workshops. I'm seeing all these beautiful emails with all these things. So what do you want to, what do you have going on, and how can folks connect with you?
Yeah. So the thing I'm really excited about is I've just done two series of sessions, Zoom sessions with groups. One was on, you know, shadow work. The other one was on lucid dreaming, lucid living. And now I'm, because I was asked to do some, to continue, because they've been so powerful and so potent, I'm going to run a series again, just three sessions, looking at, you know, utilizing your creative energy, owning your creative energy, and looking at some of the obstacles that kind of are stumbling blocks and block us from owning what we're receiving in terms of a call to action. And then, you know, finding ways to really get that moving and to get that energy out there. So I'm just looking at the title. It's the title of it's Staying True to You. It's on the events page of my website, and you can register for that. You can just join up for one session, or you can do the block of three. It's up to you. And that is coming up. I'm looking at the dates. The 21st of February is the first one, and it runs on the 21st of February, the 28th, and the 7th of March at 9 Mountain Time or 11 Eastern Standard Time. And that's just one of a few. I've got a few other things that I'm working on as well. And then with respect to the Ajatakasa community on the app, I'm hosting two groups. One is a writing group, Writing Your Truth. So again, that's really helping support people to, you know, write articles or course content or blogs or books or whatever they feel called to share. And the other one is Awake, Now What? And that is really about supporting people to look at, again, you know, conditioning or beliefs around what awakening is, and what the process is like, and again, what's sort of hindering or blocking their direct seeing, and, you know, having conversations around that. So I'm really enjoying both. Oh, and then I'm part of the Spirit in Art, or Art in Spirit was the group's name.
Art in Spirit, I think.
Yeah. So, I've shared a little bit on there as well. So I'm just having a great time. I'm absolutely loving the new app. It's fantastic because I really love that there's no sort of hindrance in terms of who you connect with, which is a big frustration with Instagram. And also the cloning, you know, I told you all the story about my account being cloned four times, not just once.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway.
Well, I'm happy to have you in there. And yeah, it's really beautiful. You know, there's been this whole thing, oh, I got to stop scrolling and all that stuff. And I'll tell you what, I love scrolling the Jatakasha feed because it's, I did a meditation the other day with somebody who was leading one and somebody else was sharing these beautiful cards and you had a great prompt. And I mean, it's just really amazing. So again, you guys can find it's on Droid, it's on Apple, it's on the web, and it's all on lisamgunshore.com. And like I said, Julie's here every single month. And Julie, it's just been a pleasure. This topic, we can continue on, and you guys can join us in the Buddhist Biohacker Group forum on the community app. And I'm going to post up some, not only this replay, but I'm also going to post up some questions for you guys from today. I think we should continue the epiphanies conversation and also what are some of your spiritual distractions so we can talk about how to overcome those. So thank you so much, Julie. It's so wonderful always.
Thank you. It's been an absolute joy. I loved every minute. I can hardly believe the time. It's just like amazing.
Yes, there's no time in this joint. That's for sure. I'm with you. And I feel like I had a really profound, I got some profound messages myself today. This was beautiful. So thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who's watching. One last thing. Don't forget to click subscribe to Buddhist Biohacker and Julie Hoyle's YouTube channel. We're live on both. So wherever you are watching this, don't forget to subscribe and follow. We love that as well. And so much love to you, Julie.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And thank you, everyone. Have an amazing day. I'll be back on Thursday with This Morning with me and Delisa. Have a good day, guys.